Here we go. Here we go. Now, before we get started, you guys need to know the backstory on this episode. Here's what happened. Are you there, Gypsy? Are you there?
I am. I feel tires on my chest.
Here they come. Take, open your eyes and take a good look at the underside of the bus.
Right?
Here's what happened, you guys. And this is kind of good and it's kind of fun. We recorded a wonderful show earlier today. A wonderful show. And then we put it out into the universe so our producer could get to it. And he goes, it's wonderful. But he could only hear my side of the conversation, which in a weird kind of Andy Kaufman kind of way,
right,
might have been a fun little experiment. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to recreate what we did this morning,
uh-huh,
in the nighttime. Now,
yeah,
it's very late where you are.
Very
on,
late.
On Gimlet Island.
Yeah. I could use a couple of gimlets right now.
Did you ever have one?
No, I never
did. You really should. It's a lot of lime. Oh, and I'll say this. Here's a little plug. Here's two little plugs. Numero uno. Remember when I was bitching about Orville Redenbacher popcorn?
Oh, yeah. I had some. Not good.
You did? You tried it?
Well, I ran out of the other, and I had Doctor Strange to watch. I wanted to watch Guardians 2 again before Infinity War.
Okay.
And so I had the Orville Redenbacher. I bought it again, and oh, you're right. It's just, it's the worst.
I was about to report the exact opposite. I accidentally got some single serving bags, and it was delicious again.
Like the
and
little tiny ones?
Yes.
No, see, I think the big bag is a single serving bag.
Oh, it is. The little tiny ones are a joke. Little tiny ones are a joke.
Yeah.
So I wanted to say welcome back, Orville Redenbacher, but hopefully they can get that figured out. And, okay, I've got a couple of addictions that I want to tell you guys about. Like, these are straight-up addictions. My newest addiction is oh my gosh, ginger ale with lemon in it.
They're selling that for real now. Schweppes is a half lemonade, half ginger ale.
It is fantastic.
Is it?
And you know why?
Why?
They're using real lemon juice.
Oh, good.
So that's those are. Oh, and I'm completely addicted to YouTube, which brings me to the theme of this show. I remember saying that this morning, that this show is going to have a theme. So we're back in. The theme of the show is now we can start. Now we can begin. Here we go. That's what it was. That's what I'm looking now. I'm remembering.
The theme of this show is also Gypsy's a moron.
No. Here's the theme of the show. Neither one of us are recording engineers, and we don't know what we're doing. But we're doing our best, damn it. That's what America's all about.
Sometimes we're doing it twice.
We're squaring back our shoulders. We're saying, hey, world, it's cold in here. Look at my nipples. That's right. So here's the theme. Here we go. Now we can begin. And this is for you guys, the gentle listeners of the show. When we started this, and I can remember exactly where I was. I was down at Hermosa Beach, and I was talking to Andrew. And it just a couple gears clicked, and I'm like, here's what I want to do. Like, literally, like, I wasn't like thunderstruck or anything, but I'm like, I kind of, in a weird way, had a vision of here's what I want to do. And it now, like 2.5, almost 3 years later, we can begin because our website, theloftusparty.com, is kicking. It's everything I ever wanted it to be. There's a few more tiny tweaks I think we might have to make, but for the most part, 99.9%, you can read a great article and you can just click a button and you can share it on Facebook and you can share it on Twitter. You can make comments on stories, and I'm telling you guys, jump in. And we can now start to build a community. I've spoken with a couple of other people who have podcasts, and I think I'd like to feature their podcast on theloftusparty.com, and we're going to start building this thing out. We're going to start building it out, and we can do it. Now, here's what I need from you guys, and I remember saying this too. It's all like deja vu. We got to bump up the presence of the show. We got to – if you guys could, this is very important. Go to iTunes and leave a comment, leave a rating. It'll take you like a minute to do it. You just go – if you've got the podcast app like I do, you click on that. You look up The Loftus Party. bang, bang, boom, leave a review. I know it's a hassle, but it makes all the difference, and it'll put us on the board and increase awareness for the show. Because here's what I've noticed iTunes is now doing. When we started the podcast, when I would go to the search, you know, oh, I want to search it up, I would go to the Loftus Party, and I would type in the Loftus, and it would say, oh, the Loftus Party? It would, like, guess the rest for me, and I could just bing, bang, do it. Now they're making me disappear. I type in the word, I get to the Loft, and it's like, oh, do you want the Loftus Lounge? It's like there's like a hip-hop show or something. They're probably pretty good, but I can type in the complete word of the Loftus Party, and there's nothing in the search bar. They're like, I don't know. No, good luck, buddy. I don't think there's anything here. And then you click search, and like, oh, that one. That's the one you want. Yeah, the one with a couple, you know, like 150 episodes. That's the one. The one I subscribe to. The one that I listen to every week. So leave a comment. Leave a little review. Click some stars. Some activity there makes all the difference. Also, the YouTube channel. I am addicted to this. I did a little review of The Last Jedi, got a bunch of clicks. I did a review of the Blu-ray of The Last Jedi, like over 100,000 views. So this is all part of the thing. We talk about comic book stuff. We talk about Star Wars stuff. We talk about politics. Politics is one part of the big puzzle. We're in the business of making friends. We're in the business of building this thing out. So if you haven't subscribed to the YouTube channel, do that and start turning people on to the Loftus Party. I'm literally asking for your help here. So subscribe to the YouTube channel. Yes, and then what?
And then you can go to the Loftus Party and learn how to sneak liquor into concerts this summer.
Well, that's the other amazing thing, and I really it's crazy. Like, this new platform that we're on, it's called The Maven. They've been insanely helpful. We're really, really happy to be there. They're happy to have us. We've got a really good relationship. The wonderful thing about The Maven is they're not going to do the clampdown on us.
Nope.
Because here's the other thing. Like, and I always say this, like, I don't want to get kicked off Twitter. I don't want to go to Facebook jail. I don't want to be demonetized on YouTube. So The Maven has a wonderful video player. All of our videos are also there. They have ads, and they are never going to demonetize us.
Nope.
They're never going to pull the rug out. So what I want to do, and I'm asking for your help here, guys, by increasing that awareness on iTunes, by subscribing to the YouTube channel, and leaving comments on the videos. That's another thing that I've just learned. If a bunch of people are commenting on the videos on YouTube, boom, 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 the algorithm kicks in, you get kicked into another higher category, more people have a chance of watching your stuff. I'm learning all this stuff as we go. I've always said that this is like a work in progress, but damn it, we're close. And I'm so excited. So here's the thing. If Twitter pulls the rug out from under us, and for whatever, because we're not diamond and silk, we don't have a million five
Ted followers. Cruz isn't going to be talking about us at the Senate committee hearing.
No, he's not. So I really want to. We've been creating great content every week. We've been creating great YouTube ads now every week since like last June. I started doing the vlog, and our YouTube numbers have doubled. And so things are going well, but now we got to put the shoulder to the wheel. Now we got to go try. And some other wonderful things are happening. And I don't know if you guys noticed this, but our friends at Fox News were suddenly on their radar, which is fantastic. I've been invited on twice now for Fox and Friends weekend. And you guys, I'm not afraid of getting up and working. Like, I'm not going to let you down. I swear I'm not going to let you down. Like, if it means I'm getting up at 3 in the morning and going down to Fox Studios in L.A. so I can do a hit on Fox and Friends weekend at 6 a.m., I'm in it. I'm in it. I will get in. I'll do the videos. I'll come back, and we'll do the podcast. And here's the other wonderful thing about The Maven. You guys, when you go there, and you sign up. That's the other thing that you need to do. You have so much homework this week. It's horrible. It's tedious. But literally, it's a call to action. It really is. And I always said I never wanted to do like a join my freedom army and help me save liberty. Like, listen, we're just going to do our thing. And that's what we've been doing. We've been very quietly doing our thing. Now I want to make some noise. Now, and I need your help to make this noise. So you go to the Maven, you sign up. You not only can you comment on stories, but you can like submit stories of your own, and there's a very good chance they'll be published. And we're going to be the idea is to think big, and that's what we're doing. Like, you can grab a video of like a song that you think is overlooked or a movie that you're excited about. You can grab something on YouTube and you can put up like, don't be a jerk, don't be pornographic or any of that crap, you know, because we'll shut you down. Those are the, like, freedom of speech is totally going to rule at theloftistparty.com. It is, when I think about it, and it's happening right now. You know when Peter Parker's in the bus and the giant spaceship comes down that Thanos sent and his arm hairs all go up?
That's what I
got going on right now. When I think about it, I swear to God, and this is no small task, and maybe I'm hungry or lonely or tired, I don't know. But when I think about it, we just made the decision to do it, and we did it, and we didn't stop, and we kept going, and now it has – everything is in place. Everything is in place. That website, you guys, you can practically blog if you want to. What do you know that's cool?
No, the community can blog.
Yeah. Yep. If you know a great bar in your hometown that makes the best damn hurricane this side of New Orleans and you want to do it.
If you own the bar, tell everybody.
I'm not kidding. Listen, if there's a politician who's screwing up and being a dumbass hypocrite and you want to rat him out, boom, do it. All of it. All of the above. If you know the best place to scuba dive, if you know the best topless beach, if you – whatever. It's all there. You can do it. We can bring it. And it's a cool little concept that we can make this thing as big as we want. Mm-hmm. Literally, the sky's the limit. So I know I can look at the numbers for the people who listen to the podcast. And we get some great people on SoundCloud. And I guess I'm focusing on iTunes now because I think I've figured out their algorithm more. And it's a big platform. But it's right there. We can do it. We can do it. We can do it. Everyone's invited. No one's going to get kicked off for cussing. It's fantastic. I'm super excited. I couldn't be more excited. So that's your call to action. That's what we need you guys to do. Hopefully you're down with it. And here's the cool thing that happens. Are you ready for this one, Gimlet?
Sure.
Okay. So I think I mentioned this last week. A guy who listens to the podcast, and that's what I was – I had a weird lapse of a moment. My brain jumped the tracks. We have a really good little army of people. Army is a crappy
party
word. But yeah.
We have a lot of party goers.
We have a good – you know, and that's another thing. We need a name. So no, seriously. Like, I don't want to call us partiers or – we can think of something. The Flying Tigers. I don't know what it is. We'll figure it out. But there's a good group of people. We have a solid group of people that listen to the show. They're awesome and they interact. And I want to give a huge shout out to this dude. So what I'm saying, if we put this into action, if the people who listen to the show do this and they leave a review and they click stars, wonderful things will happen. Wonderful things will happen. People will just take responsibility. They'll do it and bada bing, bada boom. One of the wonderful things, it was almost like a Tigger moment right there. The wonderful thing about Tiggers. Here's one of the wonderful things. That's a great. I could just say that over. One of the wonderful things. It's Winnie the Pooh. We have a guy that listens to the show, and I've been bitching about the theme song because I'm tired of it. And this dude on Facebook, Tim Columba. I hope I'm saying that right. It's Tim Columba. Last week or even 2 weeks, I apologize. He sent me like a clip. He's like, here's some music that I wrote. I don't know if this will work for the show or not, but you might want to consider it. I would totally loan this out to you. I actually sat down and I listened to it. This dude is talented. It's really good. Like, this Tim Cook, and this is not being hyperbolic or anything. I'm incredibly honored. I'm incredibly honored that the dude would even think, hey, you might want to try this. So, hey, he's going to send an MP3 of the music. We're going to get that to Andrew, and I'm going to start. It's going to be in the show for a while. And, like, I want to use it in some YouTube videos. It's awesome. And that's all it took was, like, hey, I don't like this music. I'm getting bored. And, like, boom, there's a listener to the show who goes, hey, you can use this. There's people who send me clips of stuff all the time, and I don't thank you enough. I really don't. There's people who send me links to articles, and I try to get back to you and say, hey, that's cool and thanks. And people send me cartoons and funny clips and stuff, and I think that's awesome. And I'm really trying to get better at responding to those. So we want to get it all happening at theloftusparty.com. It'll be great. So we'll do this. You guys will go and you'll leave some reviews and on iTunes, and you'll subscribe to the YouTube and you'll leave comments there, and it'll just take like 30 seconds. Like 30 seconds for the iTunes, like 30 seconds for the YouTube, and share the videos on Facebook, and man, this thing will just it'll just keep growing and keep growing. So I want to say thanks to Tim Columba. That dude is all right. We're going to start using that. So that's my little 16-minute, here's what's going on, here's where we are, now we can start. This is like day one. This is like day one. We finally have our spaceship ready. She's gassed up. She's ready to go. Let's point this bitch to the moon and put on our helmets.
I thought we were going to Mars.
We are. Elon's got to keep it together. That's what I want to do. I want to go to Mars. Okay.
So, did you hear Elon Musk is going to make candy now?
Why not? The dude makes flamethrowers.
I don't know. He makes everything. Apparently, his investors, people ordered Teslas, they haven't gotten their cars, and people are saying, where's my money? And he tweets, I'm going to make candy, and it's going to be the best.
You know what? That I really, this is eerily similar to what they did to Tucker. Did you ever see that movie, Tucker?
Mm-mm.
Jeff Bridges was in it. It's based on a true story of this guy, blah, blah, blah. His name was something, something Tucker. His son was killed in his kid was killed in an automobile accident. And he made a bunch of money making like aircraft parts for World War II. And then he decided to go into the car business. Mm-hmm. And Francis Ford Coppola, I think, directed it. Jeff Bridges played Tucker, and his car was insane. It was great. It was fantastic. He had so many safety features that were built in. They were fantastic cars. And then he started, because it looked like he was going to make it, and he was going to be popular, they started a campaign to bring this guy down and ruin his reputation. And step one of that was, hey, I ordered a car. Where's my car? I hear he's running out of money. Where's my car? And trying to create a panic. So maybe, hopefully that's not the case. Hopefully that's not really going on with Elon Musk. Hopefully it's just people boo-hooing, because that dude is in everything. Mm-hmm. He is in everything. His spaceships appear to work quite well. His cars are fantastic. But,
and he's taking a tunnel under L.A. or something.
Well, that one, he has plans for that, but he recently changed it. He says he doesn't want that to be for cars. He wants to be for bicycles, and I don't know about that. But I tell you what, I love the dude's cars. I love his spaceships.
Put all the homeless people under there.
Oh, man. The homeless. I wanted to do this joke on Fox the other weekend, because I'm like, yeah, I wanted to go on. Go, yeah, you know, you have to get up really early in the morning to do this, and it's kind of nice though when you're driving around LA. It's everything's peaceful and everything's quiet, and the homeless look so adorable when they're sleeping.
Oh, stop!
But I opted not to do it because I thought it would be cruel. But as I've been in New York for a long time, working on the TV show. Now I'm back in Los Angeles as we're on hiatus, and I will tell you what, there's a boatload of homeless people here. It is getting worse.
Notice the difference.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've noticed it big time. Big time. And it's – I don't know. Were they always there, just in another city. But I don't know. I don't know what's changed. I really don't. I guess that just makes me ignorant. But yeah, there's a lot more. There's a lot more. And you can't really like round them up and put them on buses and send them to another town.
No.
I don't know. I don't know what the solution is.
Well, it's not what Seattle's doing.
Well, I think we talked about that a couple of podcasts ago. I don't know.
And
when they
Seattle
they
just put
house
another
in the backyard. What they do in Seattle?
They want to put another head tax on, and so Amazon said we're not building our towers until y'all figure this out because we're not paying
head
any more taxes.
What's a head tax?
That's just what they're calling it. It's like a per person tax. That just increases the tax base, and citizens are like literally the unions that are working in construction and other people are literally revolting and showing up to these town council meetings and just taking them over.
It's eventually common sense will win. I just don't know how bad it gets. I was thinking about this last night, and it's too funny. And this is the other thing that you and I were talking about before. This dude, Jordan Peterson.
Yep.
And I saw that clip of him. I think everybody saw it on YouTube where he was being interviewed on this English television show. And he's extremely smart and he's quick and he's got a boatload of facts at his disposal. And he turned the tables on this woman who was trying to make her look bad. She's like, "Aren't you worried about offending those people?" And he's like, "No, aren't you worried about offending me? You didn't worry." Which I was like, ba-boom! It was just awesome to watch. He's like, "You asked me that question. You weren't worried about offending me at all. Are their rights more than my rights?" And it was just fantastic. And so last night I watched a ton of clips on YouTube, at least 10, like Jordan Peterson on this and on that and on this. So I'm kind of on that train now. But it's a wonderful thing. And one of the things that he said that really spoke to me was he was being interviewed in Australia, and he talks about when he's done with one of these talks, and as he's speaking, he'll see people like light up in the room. He'll say something he knows he's made a connection. They're thinking a different way, or they've been enlightened, whatever. And then he talks to people after his speech or his audience interaction, whatever he does. And these people, he says, so often they come up to him, the vast majority, and they'll go, "When you said that, I knew what you meant. It's like I knew that was already true, but I couldn't put it in the words that you put it in." So that's like the light of recognition. He'll say something, and people go, "Oh yeah, that's right. I knew that." You know, like you just and I found that to be the case as well. And it's he's wonderfully smart, he thinks that so much of this social justice is just garbage.
Oh, identity politics, he thinks is garbage.
And it's just wonderful. And he's not confrontational, but he doesn't take crap and he speaks. I'm into this guy. I'm into this dude. And here's one of the other things.
And of course they're calling him Hitler because he's having an impact.
Of course. But one of the wonderful things that he said when he tells people like how to improve their lives and stuff, he's like, put your shoulders back, sit up straight, clean your room, take some personal responsibility. Just do you. Just make sure that you're a better person, and you'll be amazed at the change around you. Now, I've heard other people say this. Like, this is nothing new, right? But it just rings true. Like, I'm just going to be better. I'm just going to try to improve this little space, and then other people will see, well, that guy improved his little space. Maybe I can improve my little space, and then boom, ba-boom, ba-boom. It just happens. And you got to call BS on crap when you see it. And I guess what his whole thing was like he refused to use those crazy non-gender blah, blah, blah pronouns. He's like, no, you're not going to tell me what to say. I'm in charge of it. And I just loved it. I think the guy's fantastic. We should get him on the show. I'd love to get him on the show.
Oh, it would be fun. I think he'd be like the interview I saw today. He's like 10 steps above my head, though.
Well, he's really, and here's the thing, and it's got to be exhausting to be that smart,
right?
And and to be constantly, because people, like, I saw this clip of him and Russell Brand, and I'm not a big Russell Brand fan. I think, whatever, it's my own personal, I don't think the guy, I don't think he's funny, blah, blah, blah. However, Russell Brand was interviewing him, and Russell Brand is like, oh, well, you know, when this blah, blah, blah professor and this blah, blah, blah philosopher, Russell Brand's got a bunch of facts at his fingertips, and you could tell, like, he was trying to be impressive, and it was just, it made me laugh, because he'd like, oh, when Goethe and when Nietzsche said this and blah, 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 and then you'd look over to Jordan Peterson, and he's just, like, kind of bored, like, yes, and? like, yeah, you know the name of a lot of philosophers. What's your point? Mm-hmm. But it was fun and it was enlightening. And this kind of thing, here's what will happen. This is just my own personal philosophy. We're living in turbulent times and people are trying to lead us around and tell us what to think. They're really trying to engineer our society. And they haven't thought it through. And they don't know of the repercussions. And I think they're going way too fast. Like, way too fast. Just slow down. It's really not that bad. And every time that we do try to engineer society, like, oh, we're going to have a war on poverty, that it has not worked, right? So that doesn't work. So I think everyone feels like we've been led around by the nose for years and years and years now. Like, listen, objectively speaking, the Obama years were no walk in the park, and they kept telling us, oh, it's great. Oh, look at that. This is good. This is great. Look at this. This, and it never felt great. It never seemed great, but everybody kept saying, oh, it's great. It's great. It's great. Right? It's great. Let's vote this guy in again. It's great. It wasn't great.
No.
And finally, everybody got so tired because the media all told us it was great, and NBC and MSNBC and CNN, all the huge fan club who kept insisting everything was wonderful. Finally, and that's what set the table for Donald Trump. That is totally what's – listen,
oh, that was
any
certainly
one of those guys,
part of it.
Oh, absolutely. Just to have somebody come on there and go, they're lying. They're lying. That's a bad deal. We're getting out. To me – I didn't think the guy stood a chance in hell, but it was so refreshing to watch somebody just go, no, that's a lie. That's wrong. It was awesome. And I think that's why – that's part of the reason that Trump got elected, because we've been spit on for 8 years and they tried to convince us it was raining. And that's why this Jordan Peterson dude has finally – he's been saying this stuff for years.
Oh, yeah. And
finally now he's getting the attention.
Well, he had a very popular book, 12 Rules for Improving Your Life or something like that.
I might have to get that one. I might have to get that.
I think I might have to, too, even though I think it was directed at young men. I would just like to read it because I find the way he thinks to be very, very interesting. But, I mean,
yeah.
You know, the media, if you just look at what happened this week, right? Bibi Netanyahu comes out with all of this intel on Iran. And then you have all the old Obama acolytes, right? Ben Rhodes and Jon Favreau and a couple others running around. We knew this. We knew this. This is not news. Well, yeah, it is.
Yeah, so
yeah,
what,
it is.
So what, Bibi Netanyahu had the largest PowerPoint presentation in the history of Jerusalem, and he just did that because it was some old shit?
Yeah. I'm like, oh, okay, guys, okay. Yeah, I never thought we should have approved that deal in the first place. And I sure as heck don't think we should continue it. I don't think deal with totalitarian regimes.
The Israelis got out of there with, like, what, a ton and a half of material?
Mm-hmm.
Like, they got, like, paperwork, the whole nine. Mm-hmm. And Israel has something to worry about there. It's right there. Listen, when Bibi Netanyahu does a big PowerPoint like that, he's not going back and rehashing old stuff. There's a reason to be worried. I never dug that whole Iranian deal because I didn't like the sunset clause. They're like, okay, pretend to play nice for now, but then in 2025, just light them up, baby.
Dude, you
just
said pallets of cash.
Well, that was supposedly. That was bank assets that we seized back in the day in George Bush 1.
You don't. That's like giving your kid their allowance before they do their chores.
Well, here's what it really is.
Here's
what I think it is. Here's the disgusting thing about the pallets of cash for me.
Yeah.
Is that then you cannot trace it.
Nope.
Like if it's an electronic transfer, then you can kind of see where that money goes afterwards. But like literally they wanted cash, like they were robbing an ATM. So well, they can just, okay,
they,
well.
That's how they pay the guys in Syria and in Yemen. And
absolutely. You know. Absolutely. That was the disgusting part of that. And if there was nothing to be embarrassed about, if it was all on the up and up, why the hell did you do it in the middle of the night? Right? Why'd you do it in the, like some tarmac in the middle of nowhere at like 2 o'clock in the morning? Whenever, listen, here's a good rule to live by. When your government does some shit in the middle of the night, it ain't good. It's not good. That's how they, remember when they passed Obamacare? Like, we all went to bed, everything was okay, and then you woke up, and they're like, we fundamentally changed the economy of America. But if you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor. And that was a big lie.
That was a big lie. Let's see.
And there's another one for like, the media. Whenever they say Trump takes a lot of crap for the lying media, but they do. They do. And, like, they covered – if you don't like your doctor, you can keep your doctor. You would fact check that on Politico and Snopes, and they're like, oh, it's pretty much true. It's pretty much true. They covered. And then I think if it was a Time, some other magazine just said it was the biggest political lie of the last 10 years. And it's like the mother of all lies. And you were in on it. They were complicit. What was the other thing? CNN or MSNBC, NBC. When they ran with that story that that Watch's dude's Trump's lawyer is wiretapped, we got cut. And then they spent an hour on this conjecture of what might they have listened to. They might have heard this. It might have been that. It might have been the Teletubbies with a giant blah 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 and a latex condom. You know, it's like it's just conjecture. And then an hour later, oh yeah, it's not true. It's not true. And then NBC's like, yeah, you know what? We might have messed up there. Sorry about that. It constantly happens. And then they try to make you feel bad. Like, well, Trump is constantly doing stuff. We wouldn't have to. We'd fact check, but we don't have the time. Trump don't never stop. It's like they did to that one dude who was going to run the VA. That jackhole senator or whatever congressman in Montana is like, I heard he was drunk and banging on someone's door in the middle of the night. The Secret Service had to tackle him. Oh, my God. Then they run with it like it's a fact. They never even called the Secret Service. They never called him. And then when somebody finally does call him, the Secret Service is like, we have no record of that. That never happened. But you know what? The damage is done. And it's literally like the more – the media tries to corral me, the more I'm siding with Donald Trump. And if you look at the list of stuff that's going great, stuff is going great.
Well, and it's, like you said, they just lie. So the other big lie this week, the NRA annual meeting is going on, and both the president and the vice president were going to speak. Now, if you go to the NRA annual meeting and you have an appropriate concealed carry weapons license, they encourage you to carry at the meeting. It's the NRA. Nobody gets to carry other than the Secret Service when the president and the vice president are speaking.
Is this a new rule? No.
No. No, this has been around forever. But the way that the press ran with it, oh, look, the NRA doesn't even let people carry at their own convention. No, that was not the NRA's decision.
It's crazy. And there was some other I can't remember who it was, but she came out on Twitter a couple days ago and she's like, Dana Loesch is here with the film crew.
Shannon Watts.
And then Dana, God bless her, writes back. She's like, no, I'm not. I'm having brunch with my mom. Like, yeah. I'm at the Piggly Wiggly. And then did you see what Ted Lieu said?
No.
Ted Lieu, that chipmunk-looking freakazoid from California, he texts back to Shannon Watts.
You have the best senators and reps, I swear to God.
he writes back to Shannon Watts, hey, you keep lying. You just keep lying. Like, encouraging her to keep up this, it's crazy. Ted Lieu is worthless. He's absolutely worthless.
Well,
Ted
Lieu is worthless. He's okay with lying.
And he encourages it.
He encourages it. And then you see stupid things on CNN like today, an article, supporting abortion is actually a pro-life stance. No, it's not.
I don't know how they get to that convoluted.
That's the most amazing mental pretzel I've ever seen crashed into a headline.
The Democratic Party the liberals, they're running like one of those Chinese water torture devices, and they're selling everybody towels, right?
Right?
They just keep dripping this crap on your head, and they're like, you probably need a towel. Here you go. I'll sell you this towel, but don't worry, the government's paying for that towel, and it's all part of socialism. But it's like after long enough, the people are just going to start smacking the Chinese water torture device out of their head, and like they've had enough. We desperately need a news organization in this country that just reports the news and tells the truth. Don't try to tell me what to think. Just tell me what happened. It's because people are buying into it. Now corporations are buying into it, and corporations are trying to do like what was it, United or Delta, when they're like, hey, we had a deal with the NRA where we'd give them a discount on their tickets, but we're not going to deal with the NRA. And that one came back to bite them in the butt. But like, stop doing that. Corporations shouldn't make these political decisions.
For all of the anti-NRA stuff, they had their biggest fundraising month ever last month.
Well, they better get a bunch of members now, because there's another generation coming up. These all these kids who were invited to walk out of school, and we—that's who. Those are the ones I think
about. The mother of kids that age. Those kids didn't even know why they were walking out of school.
No, they didn't. And we're raising another generation of young men and boys that just feel bad about being boys. They feel bad about being men.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one that really has to stop. For me, there's a list of them, but granted, I'm the father of two boys, so I'm watching this stuff, and like, you've got this toxic masculinity, which I don't even that's insane to me. Toxic masculinity, like, oh, your man behavior is bad. You need to relearn your behavior, bad man, just because you were born a man. That's like you come out of the womb guilty of that. Then God help you if you're a white kid, because then your white privilege is gonna get you everything. It's really nuts. And then this week we lost the Boy Scouts. That's big. When the Boy Scouts knuckle under and go, yep, girls can join. We're just now the Scouts and whatever. It's that ain't good. That ain't good.
Well, and I just don't get it. I was a Girl Scout. I learned how to start a fire. I learned how to pitch a tent. I learned how to do all that stuff in the companion organization.
Well, the Boy Scouts, I guess they're tired of the lawsuits, and they're tired of the crap, and they're knuckling under.
Yeah, I tell you,
they
there's no 5-year-old
as an organization.
There's no 5-year-old little girl that's dying to hang out with a bunch of little boys and have a man leader. That's their third wave feminist mother making them do it.
Yeah, it is.
I'm and sure of it.
And that's some boring crap.
Bore me to death.
They're miserable. But they're so vocal. They're so vocal,
so
and they're getting
miserable.
They're getting these, and they are. They are. It's if you look at studies, like, women aren't getting happier, and men are really losing it. I did that video on YouTube, and is it still okay to be a dude, and doing research on that, man. Good Lord in heaven. Women are they're in college more, they're getting more degrees, they're getting more of the wealth in the country. And they're less happy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so are the dudes.
Mm-hmm.
The suicide rate between of men is way up, and the mortality rate. We're not living as long. Like, we're going the wrong direction. We're living less now than we were like 10 years ago. It's terrifying. It's terrifying. So good for you. Girls are in the Boy Scouts.
Yeah,
that's fantastic.
Well, the entire thing about this entire drive for complete equality, and it's not even equality as much as it's everything is going to be equal. So if we got one of these, we need one of these, we need one of those, you know, is you're forcing square pegs into round holes.
Yeah. Yeah.
That never works out well.
And look at Google. Look at them. It's really the idea of you just have to have the best people. Listen, nobody wants you to discriminate, right?
No.
However, the best people for the job, Now we're really, now we're like old school Republican preachy, but it's true. They're looking at this. What? How come in this particular field of expertise, there's only 35% women? Well, I don't know. Maybe chicks don't like being on the back of garbage trucks. Maybe they don't want
or welding.
Maybe they don't want to or welding or being on oil rigs or whatever. It's like buddy of mine used to do a joke about that.
But you don't hear them complaining about that. You hear them complaining about IT jobs and, you know, other white collar kind of jobs. Yeah.
Well, that's now yes, and that and now they're so loud and they bitch about it so much, mm-hmm. and now there's an organization. They're affecting real change, and it's starting to affect my life. Like Star Wars, someone at Disney, I don't know if it's Kathleen Kennedy who is running Star Wars now, they made a choice in Star Wars The Last Jedi, where they're like, boom, here comes the message, boom, here it comes, hey, this girl is the hero. And I'm like, I'm fine with a girl hero. I don't care, as long as the story's good. The Wonder Woman's fantastic as long as the story's good. But if you hand me a crappy story where you're going to marginalize the male hero, Luke Skywalker, and make him behave in a way that he has never behaved before in his life, and then go to a casino planet to try to teach me about the evils of capitalism in a Star Wars, like, whoa, what the hell are we talking about? I thought we were talking about the Force, you know? And Yoda is burning books. Like, Luke, I totally forgot about that part. When Luke Skywalker's like, whoa, those are the Jedi, the early Jedi texts. And Yoda's like, burn them. They're just books. Like, really? Yoda's into burning books? When did Yoda become a Nazi? And that's what's got me worried about the Avengers. At the end of the Avengers, they got, oh, we better call in Miss Marvel. What? You're going to call...
Yeah, that's not setting well with me.
A little online, some dude about that right now. But like, why are we going to call in Captain Marvel? Like, I don't want to meet a new. Listen, I will be so pissed if the characters that I know and love from the Avengers, Iron Man, Thor, the Hulk, all of them. You know, Black Widow's in there. You know, but if all of a sudden you're going to throw,
the man
can't solve it. You know what? I will tell you this. I liked the Scarlet Witch more in Avengers Infinity War than I've ever liked her before. Like I really dug her.
That's how I felt about Nebula.
Oh, my gosh. It's spoilers, you guys. I guess we should say this. At 43 minutes in, we started talking about the Avengers, and there could be spoilers. Nebula. Okay, here's a little... I think this is worth talking about. When Thanos is talking to Gamora... Mm-hmm. He's like, your sister's here. And he goes, she snuck on board and she tried to kill me. And she actually came pretty close. I think that was huge. And that Nebula got loose in the end. She knows how to get to Thanos. She came really close. That's why she's still alive at the end of that movie.
You think?
There's going to be. Oh, my. Yeah, she's the key. You've got Rocket, who's still alive, the little raccoon guy. He can fly the spaceship. Nebula can fly the spaceship.
Yeah.
The Avengers will get to Thanos, and then, and this is the one that I did the video on. This is the one I did the video on that I think is the most incredible insight to the Avengers, literally, that everybody else has missed. Marvel said they were never going to try to do another Hulk movie. They were never going to try to do another Hulk movie because they just don't work. So what they're doing is they're giving the Hulk a little tiny movie of his own, and it's wonderful.
A pretty big deal in Ragnarok too.
The Hulk did.
Yeah.
The Hulk, and this is what I think is so wonderful, as from the writing of it, it's just you gotta just recognize really solid writing when you see it. The Hulk was like the Hulk for a couple of years in Thor Ragnarok. He was not switching back to Bruce Banner. He was like full-time Hulk for a few years. Mm-hmm. And then when Thor finally calms him down, Bruce Banner goes, holy crap, if I ever turn back into the Hulk again, I don't know if I'll ever come back. So that's like act one of a really awesome movie. And now in the Avengers, they need the Hulk. They're like, come on, dude. And now because the Hulk got his ass kicked by Thanos and got his lunch handed to him, the Hulk is afraid. And so now you desperately need the Hulk and he's not coming out. That's act two of a really great movie. And right. So I think it's that they're setting up what could be one of the most wonderful moments in the entire. It's like in Forrest Gump when the kid's running and the bad kids are throwing rocks at Forrest Gump and run, Forrest, run. And then the braces come off in slow motion. You're going to have a moment like that where all hope is lost. Bruce Banner's going to be there and he's going to be like, I need you, Hulk, one more time. And boom, he is going to Hulk out and it's going to be the most awesome, epic Hulk scene ever. It's like, it's just going to feel so good. It's right there. It's right there. It's like a big juicy apple that they've taken care of the Hulk tree. They've watered the Hulk tree and it's going to bear the best Hulk fruit ever. It's going to be great.
Well, I just...
You're not excited.
I really don't like Mark Ruffalo as Bruce Banner. I'm sorry.
I think he's fine as Bruce Banner. His politics are whatever, but it's wild. I can totally put that aside. Like when I'm watching the movie, I'm like, yeah, that guy's kind of a jackhole. But I can totally put his politics aside and enjoy him as
Bruce
Banner.
It's not even his politics. He's just so mealy as Banner that I'm like, ugh.
He needs to find the balance. He needs to find the balance between him and the Hulk. There's a character, Worldbreaker Hulk. Worldbreaker, the ultimate Hulk. It's going to be great.
Yeah.
I'll tell you this right now. I'm not the only guy that reviews these movies. A young man by the name of Ben Shapiro, who I know, who I had on the old TV show, he reviews them. You look at, I'll tell you what, I dare you. You compare my review of Avengers Infinity War with Ben Shapiro's, boom, you're going to like mine a lot more. There you go. I'm calling you out, Ben Shapiro.
Well, he didn't like it.
No, he didn't.
And I don't get it at all. I don't get it at all. Because, okay, just like you were saying, Star Wars throws all these ideological crappy things at you.
Yeah.
When you're sitting there watching the Marvel movies, individual responsibility... rejection of collectivism, a nationalist beats an SJW, and now we have a villain, a super villain, who's basically the love child of Cecile Richards and Tom Steyer.
yeah, right?
Everybody's against the super environmentalist.
Yeah, let's eliminate half the population.
You know?
Thanos, the intergalactic chief of Planned Parenthood.
There you go.
Planned Parenthood, intergalactic.
But I mean, when you stop and think about it, it's a pretty, like, they want to save lives. It's a very pro-life message that comes through.
Like, it actually is.
People don't just need to die for no reason. You know?
That's a great takeaway.
Well, same with Captain America Civil War. Captain America said, no, I'm not buying into this collectivist crap. I will take responsibility for my actions. He ended up being right, and he ended up saving everybody.
Yeah, that's a very – that's like a phenomenal essay right there. Why don't you write that one up? That's fantastic.
But what it shows you – it is very American. It is very American. Those ideas are extremely popular in these movies, and – people who are ideologically opposed to them, go see them, go cheer them, and don't even see it.
Well, you know what? And I'm fine with that. Yep. I am fine with that. You know what that means? You're putting enough sugar in with the medicine that you got the balance right. I like it. I don't like tasting too much medicine. Right? And there's been a lot of medicine. You got to do this. You got to say that. Don't do this. Don't say that accent. Apu from The Simpsons is bad. Thank God. And that's another thing. Matt Groening, he's fighting back.
He's like, no.
Yeah. You can be mad. You can be mad. Sorry. Moving on. Hey, but speaking of The Simpsons and comedy, I want to make sure I let you guys know this. If you happen to be in Vegas in the next couple weeks, I'll be performing. I'll be headlining at Brad Garrett's Comedy Club at the MGM. We do one show a night. I'm going to make sure – here's what I need to do. Like, I will stick around after the show. I'm going to say hi to people. I'm going to take pictures. Normally, I like to skate. I'm telling you, normally when I do a show in Vegas, I get back up to the room as fast as I can. I'm going to stick around. I'm going to talk to people. I'm going to talk politics. I'm going to talk comedy and comic books and all this other stuff. And I'm going to talk about the loftusparty.com. And it's wonderful. That's my little Hulk seed. What I'm going to do is talk to all these people in Las Vegas who live in all these different places and go to the loftusparty.com and check this out and be my friend and do all that. And then, shoop, they're going to leave. They're going to get on planes and they're going to go back to wonderful places like Jacksonville, Florida, and like Tacoma, Washington, and Tallahassee. And then boom, 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 boom. It's going to start there. More friends, more adventurers. That's
work
my plan.
Work in the room.
Absolutely. Absolutely, I'm working the room. And it's so nice. Here's what I love about Brad Garrett's Comedy Club. One show. I've done so many weeks in Vegas where it's just like, you know, two shows a night. It's brutal. I don't know how they do it. Like Britney Spears, God love her. People are like, oh, she lip syncs during her show. God bless her for even coming out there and trotting around at all. It's like, I don't know how they do it.
Vegas is just a very tiring city.
It is.
I don't gamble, so.
Really?
Nope.
We got to get you gambling.
No, you don't.
Gambling's fun. I just don't have enough.
I will just get angry when I lose. I don't like giving my money away.
Well, that's the whole thing. You have your little nest egg, you know, a little bit of money. Then you need to turn that into more money. Then you're playing with the house's money. Then you get a little loosey-goosey. It's a long, long, drawn-out process. Nothing feels better than to be in Vegas and you're gambling with their money. That is the best. The worst feeling is when you're losing your own money.
Exactly.
And usually that's how the plan goes. I'm such a low stakes guy. I'll just go play blackjack, a little $10 blackjack, $15 blackjack, try to win a couple hands, then turn that into something and like, okay, now I'm playing with the house's money. That's the best. That's the best feeling.
The most popular event at CPAC this year was our charity gambling night.
Oh, man. I'm so bummed that I missed that. Night. I'm so bummed that I miss CPAP.
Hey, we had fun that evening.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It was very popular. I think we're going to do it again.
I was back. I couldn't. That was the I was working on the episode of Kevin Can Wait. That's going to be on tonight, Monday night.
Mm-hmm.
You guys need to watch that. That was hooey. That was a good time. I didn't think we were allowed to talk about it. And regardless, it's close enough now where I don't think I'll get in trouble. But it's the episode of Kevin Can Wait. We got Adam Sandler on the show.
Well, they put out a poster.
Chris Rock is on the show. I was very surprised when they put out the poster, because usually like Sandler, and I'll tell you this right now, people. This is the second time I've been fortunate enough to work with Adam Sandler and with that guy and Chris Rock. This is the first time I met Chris. I've done shows with his brother before, Tony. But I will tell you, I'm not even kidding. Adam Sandler is one of the nicest, sweetest, most talented people you're ever going to want to meet in Hollywood.
He just seems very genuine.
He is, and Chris Rock was a blast. Chris Rock was great. Mm-hmm. It's a really funny episode. And here's the other thing that I really loved about the episode. And you'll see. You'll watch it. You'll watch it on CBS Monday night at 8. The whole episode, Sandler wants to get the band back together. I guess Sandler and Chris Rock and Kevin James and Mike Del Judas. You're not familiar with Mike Del Judas, but he's insanely talented. He works with Billy Joel all the time. He's a crazy great singer-songwriter. So they want to get this band back together that they had back in the 80s. So you see all the failures of the band. Like they were a hair band, they were a boy band. So we got to write all these songs because we knew Sandler would be into it. Like Sandler loved the idea of these guys used to have a band. So Kevin James and myself and another writer, Mike Socio, and we all and the writers, we came up with crazy names of songs, and Kevin was like, oh, that's a funny name for a song. And then we would actually write these songs, you know, and me and Kevin and Mike and Mike Del Judas, and it was hilarious and fulfilling, and like by the end
and
of the
creative
week, yeah. And so funny. And by the end of the week, Kevin's all fired up. He's like, we should just go on the road and do songs. We should just do songs. And I'm like, I'm down for it. I would totally do that. I would totally go on the road with Kevin James, and we will just sing crazy goofy songs. I'm down for that. So,
you backing him up on the ukulele, or
I'd love to. Oh my gosh. I'm taking the uke to Vegas. I'm taking it to Vegas.
Okay.
I'm gonna unleash a new song. Last time I was there, I did an Elvis song. I might do that. I might do two songs at the end of the show. It's so Vegas. I love the idea, and hopefully the audience does too. I come out and I tell my jokes, and then if Brad Garrett's there, I bring him on stage. That's totally Vegas. And then I love closing with a musical number. It's just, to me.
Is this being videotaped?
I videotaped it last time. I did an Elvis song on the ukulele. I had the audience sing along. If you go to the YouTube channel, it's there. I Can't Help Falling in Love with You. And I had the audience sing along, and it was a lot of fun. I might do another one this time, but we'll see how it goes. It's an insanely busy time in my life right now. It's an insanely busy time, and I'm trying to learn a new schedule, you know, to get the most out of my day. So I'm working on the loftusparty.com. I'm going to start blogging there, still doing the videos every week. I need to finish up this script I'm doing. I got to learn a new song on the ukulele. I got to find more fun guests to be on this show. It's really great. It's champagne problems, and they're the best. I'll be doing Fox News. I'll be doing Wake Up Vegas on the Fox channel there. I'll be telling everybody about the loftusparty.com. It's going great, you guys. It's going really great.
Well, you can get on Fox and Friends again, and they'll introduce you as a producer for Kevin James again, and you still won't get a phone call, and it'll be awesome.
That's the terror. That is the terror.
I watched it, and I went, oh, no.
I was legit scared. And you know what? Kanye gave me strength. I'm like, if Kanye West can come out and do it and talk about, I'm doing it too. And I'm still in a weird way waiting for that shoe to drop. What? You're writing on a television show and you, this is the way you think
That's
politically?
That's not allowed.
It's I'm telling you, it's not. It's not. And because it is. No, I'm not calling situation comedies art. In a way, they are. It's because it's entertainment and all that stuff. It's so easy because art is subjective and comedy is subjective. It's so easy for other people who are in charge of the industry, the entertainment industry, to go, oh, no, this isn't why we didn't hire him. We just don't think he's funny. And then it's this ethereal thing that you can't really prove. And you go, well, he worked on this show, and he worked on that show, and he worked on this show, and he worked on that show, and no one ever had a problem. It's just not funny now, when it's really about the politics. And that's the scary part. That is the truly scary part. And that's why you have to wait till you have a certain level of success, and maybe I'm out in front of my skis on this. But, like, when's the last time you saw James Woods in a movie? You know? And, like, and John Voight, I guarantee John Voight, well, he works a lot, but I bet he wants to be working more. And Gary Sinise, does he still have a show on? It's like once you are on the radar.
CSI not that long ago?
Yeah, he had a CSI show, but I think that went bye-bye.
He was CSI Miami, I think?
No, it was another. I think it was like CSI some foreign. They had too many of those CSI shows.
Yeah, they had too many of them, but you know, even Kelsey Grammer.
Yeah, well, Kelsey, that guy, I don't know if he's doing Broadway again now or what he's doing, but he works a lot. So maybe there is hope. Maybe there is maybe I'm being paranoid. Maybe everything is okay. I'm going to say it is okay. I'm going to say
it is. Seems okay now.
I tell you, let's hope this is recorded. if we've actually managed to record this, it's all going to be okay.
Shut up.
So, I'm gonna recap. I'm gonna close with the way we started. Go to iTunes, click on some stars, leave a comment. Go to YouTube, watch a clip, leave a comment. It's all about That's the leaving the comment part is also part of it. And thank you for sharing the videos, and thanks for sharing the videos on Facebook and following us on Instagram and all that stuff. I know it's a hassle. I know it. And I would hate it if somebody would ask this of me, and I apologize that I have to do it. However, it's something that you guys can do, and the community is growing. We're right where we want to be. And so with just a little bit of your time, it can really, really, really get big fast. These are exciting, exciting days. Next week, we got to talk about, I have hopefully a very funny story to tell about me going to the skin doctor. I went to the dermatologist, and there's a freckle by my dick story that I think you guys.
What?
Yeah.
Okie dokie.
Yeah. Well, that's, listen, I was recently, I'm not going to do the whole story now. I can't, it's a teaser for the story. That's all I'm going to say. There was a new freckle, by my junk, and it scared me. So, whatever. We got it. Everything's good, but like, listen, wear your sunscreen. There was another spot, not by my junk, and they're doing a biopsy on that. So, keep me in your thoughts and prayers.
All that good Irish blood we have.
Well, that's the problem. Mm-hmm. You got that Irish skin, and they're like, well, get out there in the sun, go swimming. And I like getting a little sun. I like being a little sun kissed, and I'm not afraid to show some skin out the pool.
Apparently not.
Well, it might be coming back to bite me. So I'm in Vegas. Come out and say hello. I'll tell you guys the dermatology story next time. Oh, then I got it's kind of a Michaeltopia, but I got a serious, a real hardcore beef with these companies that now are just begging when you go to pay your bill at like PF Chang's, or now they did it to me at PetSmart, where they just out loud ask you if you want to donate money to save blank. And now I'm just saying no. And I'm saying it loud. I'm saying it so loud that the person behind me can hear. So that came, if they wanted to say no, they don't feel bad. Cause like, I guess everybody's saying no now.
Michael, you want to donate a dollar to save puppies?
No, I don't. I don't. That's what I do.
I know.
I did it yesterday. Mm-hmm. Would you like to donate a dollar to help an abandoned puppy? No, I wouldn't. What do you think? I'm in here buying food to feed the one I rescued.
Exactly.
Don't you shame me. I have a rescue dog. He's the best dog in the world. Jack the dog.
So I have rescued dogs. I have rescue cats. I have feral cats that now eat a buffet on my front porch because I can't stand to watch them starve.
Oh boy!
Yeah, I'm not. I don't need to be given a dollar to save some other animal. I'm saving quite
enough of them.
How about
you give me a dollar to pay for the ones I'm saving
exactly.
Already?
How about you just give me some free food?
And then it's P.F. Chang's. P.F. Chang's. We'd like to give a dollar to help a homeless. Blah blah blah. No, I wouldn't. Okay.
No, they do
whatever.
It at Walmart. They do it at the grocery store. They do it everywhere.
Well, it needs to stop. They're trying to shame us, and I'm going to shame
You're
them.
Going to extort me into being charitable. Hmm.
Yes. No, thank you. Like, who are you? Who are you to give me a moral? I'm fine with my morals. I give back a ton. I do a lot of shows. I do stuff for Make-A-Wish. I do stuff for the American Heart Association, mm-hmm. the Lung Association, fighting cancer, giving this, saving animals. And then you're going to come at me again like I'm some kind of douche? Screw you! Screw you! I will say it loud. Oh my goodness. Okay, that's our show. It was a good one. We're a little bit long, but you guys, you know what to do. And we'll have another show for you next week. Make sure you subscribe to YouTube. That channel is getting better and better. I tell you what, we're having fun. TheLoftusParty.com. Go to TheLoftusParty.com, sign up, and let's get going. Let's see you post some stuff. What's in your wallet? I'll see you guys next week.